It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC, kpcc.org, and on the KPCC app. I'm Stephen Cuevas, in for Larry Mantle. And as you may know, from time to time here on Film Week, we've been airing parts of the new KPCC LAS Studios podcast, Hollywood the Sequel. It explores how the pandemic and ongoing national reckoning on race and representation could be a good opportunity for Hollywood to reinvent itself. On this week's episode, John sat down with co-CEO and Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos of Netflix, a company that's no stranger to disruption of the norm in the entertainment industry. John started by asking Sarandos how he thought the entertainment industry would change fundamentally when productions resume post-pandemic.
Well, look, I think largely a lot of things are going to go back to what we were doing. There'll be many things that will linger. The good thing, I think, is in the return to production kind of safety protocols. Many of those things, I think, are going to prove to be very effective in making production safer and more efficient and will stick around. But I can tell you our experience of shooting around the world under these new safety protocols is that the shoots are more organized. People know where they're supposed to be. They actually run quite smoothly. And all the extra steps that is going into making the production environment cleaner and healthier doesn't result in a big delay of time because of the efficiency of the production schedules. Fewer people who don't need to be on the set or not on the set and all those kind of things, which actually changes the rhythms of a production pretty significantly. I think some of those things will stick around. In terms of the business itself, who makes movies, who makes TV shows, who watches them, I think that this time that we're living in right now has kind of accelerated choice and accelerated options and gives a lot more storytellers a place at bat. To be able to get out and get their stories told.
So I'm going to deal with that in a second, but I'm going to go to what's going on right now. There's a very spirited debate going on between a couple of theater chains and Universal. Universal has taken a couple of its planned theatrical releases, Trolls World Tour and King of Staten Island, and put them directly on video on demand platforms. AMC has now capitulated and say they will run Universal movies for 17 days before they can go to digital platforms. The owner of Regal is like, no, terrible idea. But as you're watching that distribution model be challenged and kind of break apart in real time, how does that affect streaming companies and your ability to get your movies into theaters, which has been a real obstacle in the past?
The great thing is getting our movies into theaters has not been an obstacle to getting them to audiences. Our films enjoy enormous audiences on Netflix. And on our film releases like The Irishman and others where we've had pretty large theatrical releases, the big theater chains, the AMCs and others, have refused to book the films, which I think is really just bad for their business and bad for their customers because the independent theater chains enjoyed sellout performances throughout nearly the entire runs of those shows. They're just smaller rooms. So it's harder for people to get tickets and get seats or to do, you know, a big box office number. But that's not the business model for us anyway. We're thrilled that we got the film into hundreds, thousands actually screens around the world for a nice long theatrical run for people who wanted to go to the theater. But it was also on Netflix if you chose to stay home and watch it at home. And for me, like I said, not being in theaters does not prevent us from getting an audience for a film. But I would like to be able to offer choice to filmgoers and film lovers and to filmmakers to be able to make their films available in the best theaters and on Netflix if consumers choose to watch that way.
And what happens to that experience just for people like you and me that like to go see movies in theaters? I'm certainly not headed back to a theater anytime soon, even if they reopened. Do you think that that way of seeing movies for any consumer is going to be fundamentally changed if and when theaters open, maybe middle of next year, next spring, who knows when?
It's really hard to tell. I mean, you think about what consumer behaviors, it took a couple of years, you know, for commercial air travel to get back to normal post 9/11. So I do think that, and that's a really big necessity. So if you think about a lot of things like that, it's very hard to predict now how people are going to feel emotionally 6 months from now, 3 months from now, 12 months from now. But I think going to the movies is kind of a fundamental social event for people around the world, and getting out of the house and, you know, seeing some things together. That's, you know, not, it's not the way most people see movies anymore. But it is a nice, it's a nice night out. And I would let, you know, I'm looking forward to having that option again. I, like you, I'm not positive when that will be or when I'll feel good enough to do it. But I'm hopeful that it'll come around again.
The other thing that I think is happening as theaters remain closed is that the kinds of movies that the studios make, I think, are pretty much in question, because companies like Disney have made a huge bet on big franchises. It could be Marvel, it could be Lucasfilm, it could be Pixar. And the fact that you can't go to a theater, I have to imagine, is going to change the kind of films maybe that studios are going to make. But right now, does that create more of an opportunity for a company like yours that isn't really in that business of big event movies, that it does mean that there is a shifting taste that is really kind of driven by what you can and cannot see in a theater?
I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like we have got to be great at the, you know, the full complement of movies, the kind of things that people like to see. I mean, like, kind of like in our TV business, where we're trying to make things for your, whatever your mood is, whatever your taste is. And for moviegoers, you know, that could be a big action adventure escape film, you know, like Extraction or The Old Guard on Netflix right now. Or, you know, or it could be a small, much smaller, more intimate film like Marriage Story that is tougher, I think, to get people out to the theaters for. But I think what happens is over time, people get used to watching movies at home, and then they get used to watching premiere movies at home, and they kind of like it. So when we get a movie like Extraction, which, you know, almost 100 million Netflix accounts have watched the movie at least once, and you think about that and say, that's about a, you know, the cultural equivalent of a $1 billion movie at the box office. I do think the way we think about what movies you do and don't see, I think the bigger they are, the more spectacular they are. That's kind of needed.
So clearly there's been the disruption from the pandemic, but there's also been another massive thing that's happened in the country, and that is this conversation about racism and equity from government to policing to the entertainment industry. So I want to ask you about a couple of things. In June, Netflix launched the Black Lives Matter collection. It had films like Ava DuVernay's 13th, Justin Simien's Dear White People, Barry Jenkins' Moonlight, Dee Reese's Mudbound, and your homepage for the BLM collection said More Than a Moment. So as a company, what does that mean, more than a moment, in terms of your priorities going forward and about how you might see things differently and how you're responding to that conversation?
This has been an ongoing effort for the entertainment industry, but particularly I can speak to Netflix. That More Than a Moment was not a tagline that we created this summer. That was actually a spot that we created a couple years ago called Great Day in Hollywood, where we put together our filmmakers of color and the cast of their shows together to kind of reenact this photo from called Great Day in Harlem from the old jazz movement. And the tagline for that message was More Than a Moment. And it has been an ongoing part of who Netflix is since the beginning of our original content initiative. The films that you just talked about, we were able to assemble that collection because we've been doing it for a long time. It wasn't a scramble. And I would say that the opportunity to give filmmakers the resources to tell the stories that matter to their audiences is a responsibility, but it's also great business. You mentioned 13 with Ava DuVernay. I happened to meet Ava for the first time at a screening of a movie she did called Middle of Nowhere. And I mean, a phenomenal film about, you know, basically about prison reform. And that I was my wife's plus one at that screening. But we wound up becoming great friends. And after Selma, we started talking about documentary projects and so things that she made entertain. Because earlier in her career, she was making docs. And the idea for 13th came up in those early conversations with Ava and myself and Lisa Nishimura. And it was such a powerful film and got an enormous audience. It got Oscar nomination and you know, brought the public to that conversation. And that was years ago. So we have an ongoing commitment and to invest in storytellers as legendary as Spike Lee, as proven as Ava DuVernay, as new as Dee Reese, or somebody even like Stephan Bristol, who was not yet out of NYU when we funded his film See You Yesterday up for Netflix. or Gina Prince Bythewood, who directed The Old Guard, first African-American woman to ever direct a big-budget, star-driven action feature in the history of Hollywood. So we're committed to finding the best storytellers and giving them the access to the assets to make those films.
That's Netflix co-CEO and Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos in conversation with John Horn on the latest episode of the KPCC LAS Studios podcast, Hollywood the Sequel. Coming up, we'll have more of John's conversation with Sarandos, including his response to an Oscar-nominated director who's done films for Netflix and says meaningful change in Hollywood is impossible so long as white men continue to call the shots. It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC at kpcc.org and on the KPCC app. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC, kpcc.org, and on the KPCC app. You can also get it as a podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen wherever you like. I'm Stephen Cuevas in for Larry Mantle this week, and we're listening to Hollywood the Sequel podcast host John Horn in conversation with Netflix co-CEO and Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos. Just before the break, Sarandos was talking about Netflix's efforts to provide more opportunities for storytellers from all ethnic, racial, and cultural backgrounds to create content. John asked whether Netflix's commitment to doing so has changed at all in the last few months.
It's been in our DNA for so long. The thing that people forget, Netflix is a lot different than many media companies in that the green light power doesn't reside just with me. In fact, I haven't greenlit a show or a film in a couple of years. My team, I have vice presidents and directors who have more green light authority than most network presidents and studio presidents. So the commitment that we all have to make to each other is to make sure that our company represents our audience. And if folks want to get these stories made and they're coming into a room full of people who they don't think understand their story, that's got to be a super disheartening meeting to have for a filmmaker. It's hard enough to get your things made, even if they're great. You definitely don't want them to get them made because you don't think the person you're pitching to gets it. So we want to make sure that the audience for those pitches is as diverse as the audience who may watch it down the road. We've been investing and growing in that. Now, am I happy with the numbers that we have now? Of course not. But we continue to do the work and we continue to push forward.
So one of your filmmakers, you mentioned her name, Ava DuVernay, said on our podcast that as long as white men are calling the shots and at the top of the food chain, truly meaningful change is impossible, that there needs to be a total reset. And the three top people at Netflix are all white men, Reed Hastings, yourself, and Greg Peters. Does that concern you at all? And if not, why not?
Well, Ava also said in the New York Times that Netflix is the largest distributor of black images in the world. We have a deep commitment to diversity and inclusion, and we're getting better and more representative about it all the time. So I think that if all of the decision-making authority was wrangled with myself or even the three of us, that would be a problem. But it certainly is not. And like I said, projects find their home on Netflix because of the diverse and rich group of executives who hear those stories and inbound those stories.
If you are really trying to make sure that going forward or even now, the company is going to look as much like the country as is possible, do you look at stated targets? Do you look at mandates? How do you measure your own progress and make sure that you're doing as good a job as you can?
Look, I think the main thing is a commitment to ongoing improvement, because I think if you lay out numbers and targets, you wind up having all kinds of things that make you comfortably check boxes, which is not what we're after. You've got a group of people who really like to win. So if you define the win as X number of people doing this, they're going to figure out a way to do that. But I think what's really much more important is that you're putting resources in the hands of folks at a very large scale. I would argue that the impact of having Gina direct a $100 million budget plus movie is far more impactful than having 100 people with $1 million making, $1 million movies. And we're doing both, which I think is what's really important. I don't want to get lulled into any false sense of confidence that we're done. Our work is not done. But I think it was a good example, is that if you don't use your position in the world to just be another gatekeeper, that's not what we're trying to do. I'm trying to be an enabler. We're trying to figure out ways to enable storytelling, not to block it, and not to prevent unproven talent to prove themselves.
What have you learned during the pandemic? Obviously, a lot of people are sheltering in place, and the company is gaining a lot of subscribers. What has it taught you about what people want in terms of stories and how your role as an entertainment company might have evolved just in the last 6 months?
You know, it's funny. I haven't asked his permission to share this quote, but Guillermo del Toro, we talked a few months into the quarantine, and he said it's become clear to him the things that he really needs in life are food, water, and stories. And that without those stories, he couldn't have gotten through. And you think about, that as kind of an essential element of the human condition, is being able to connect with people far away and worlds that you don't live in and all those things. So in general, I think what we've learned in our short time and, hopefully making this experience a little more bearable for folks is that people just really want stories, and they want stories that are really diverse and really reflect how they're feeling that day. And that could be something as intimate as unorthodox or as, head scratching as Tiger King. Or as big as Extraction. So I do think, like I said, the variety of things that really caught on for us during this period of time was remarkable. Everything from competition shows to big budget films to, crazy documentary worlds like Tiger King.
Just to trade Guillermo del Toro quotes, we talked to him a couple months ago, and he said, "The business is like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Who will survive?" And I thought it was a really good point that we are at a moment of profound disruption, and what's going to happen coming out of this is anybody's guess. How confident are you that, what you are doing is going to be viable, that the way the world is changing so quickly, that streaming is still going to be important, that, people are going to still want entertainment? We don't know the future, and there are a lot of people around, it could be actors, it could be studios that aren't going to make it through this.
Well, I could say, professional filmed entertainment has been pretty resilient, over 100 years. So I do think, and storytelling has been resilient as long as there's been people. So I do think that I have 100% confidence that, if anything, our relationship with content and storytelling has deepened and our need for it. Now, when we can go out, will there be a period of, like you see in Europe, as soon as the weather clears and everyone's on the street? Probably, but I don't know, but I don't think it's going to happen, like winter and spring. I think it's going to be one of those things where gradually people will get closer to their old habits.
That's Netflix co-CEO and chief content officer Ted Sarando speaking with our very own John Horn, host of the KPCC LAS Studios podcast, Hollywood the Sequel. It's available now wherever you get your podcasts. For more information on Hollywood the Sequel and the full slate of podcasts from KPCC and LAS Studios, visit LAIST.com/podcast. That's LAIST.com/podcast. I'm Stephen Cuevas in for Larry Mantle this week. Thank you so much for joining us for Film Week right here on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. And have a wonderful and a safe weekend.